You're listening to the Restoration City Church podcast. We are a non-denominational Christian church located in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. We thank you for taking time out to listen to this message. It is our prayer that something said ministers to you. For more information about this ministry, please visit www.myrestorationcity.org. Now the message from our lead pastor, Brian D.J. Robinson, already in progress.
And the title of this series is, What's Love Got to Do With It? We are on the eve of Pentecost Sunday. And every single year, a lot of churches focus on Pentecost in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit descended upon those in the upper room and they began to speak with different tongues and did amazing things. How many of you know we still have that same power? It's not just for the first century church, but it's for our church as well. But the thing about it is we're getting ready to celebrate Pentecost Sunday. And as I began to wrestle with what message to preach, the Holy Spirit kept saying, what is the key to receiving Pentecost? And I said, God, I don't know. I started studying, researching, trying to find somebody else's sermon or somebody else's text that have talked about it before. I couldn't really find anything. And all I kept hearing was love. Love. And he kept posing the question, do you really love me? Do you really love me? Has he even asked anybody that question before? Yes. Yes. Do you really love me? Now, typically, I get afraid when he asks me that question because I typically have to reach in my pocket after that to help somebody. You know, do you really love me? Yes, I love you. Well, help such and such. Go do this. Go do that. But he didn't do that to me. What he did was he took me to his word, and he began to reveal to me that a prerequisite to living a good life, a prerequisite to living with the true power of the Holy Spirit, is that you must first have love on the inside of you. You must first be in a position that all you do, that all you say, is motivated and based in love. Some of us, sometimes we can be based in, I want to connect with this person because where they're going to take me, or I want to do this for money, or I want to do this for notoriety. But God is saying in this next season, everything that we do, whether it's pertaining to the kingdom or our own personal life, must be grounded in the reality and revelation of love. All right, y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
And so, see if we get this technology right, Lord. There we go. All right. This was a quote that I came across, and it's by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Can you guys see that?
Yep.
It says, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that.
Right.
Hate cannot drive out hate.
Right.
Only love can do that. And for me personally, many of you know my political views. I side typically with the Republican Party. Right. However, in this last, this current go-around, I have been utterly upset, ashamed, and afraid of the Republican Party. Mainly because everything that I hear is based in hate. Everything I hear is based in fear and anxiety. And more so than ever, I'm seeing people, even church folk, rise up in hate and hostility and stereotypes. And so God reminded me that instead of us jumping out with our picket signs and walking around protesting people, that we need to put ourselves in a position to epitomize what love is. Because us fighting darkness with darkness is never going to win. It is only when we fight darkness with light that we can win. But really, what is the light for us? The light is how we love one another. And when we love people, I always tell people, the law was made so that you would know you cannot do it. The reason God put the law in place was so that you knew you couldn't do it without him. It was intentionally made to prove that you could not fulfill it. However, what we got a lot of times in church, what we like to do is we like to condemn people. We like to judge folk. You did this, you did that. You don't dress this way, you don't dress that way. But how many of you know when you condemn folk, it just pushes them back into sin? It pushes them further away from God. But what is the answer? The answer is love. One of the greatest things I heard was from Dr. David C. Forbes when I went through my bout a few years ago with infidelity and adultery and things. The first thing he said to me, he says, all love, no condemnation. He said, you're not right. You're wrong. But I'm not going to condemn you because I don't have a right to condemn you. All I can do right now is love on you because me loving you will cause you to get out of what
my
you're in.
God.
And so for me, I found that there's more power in saying, I love you in the midst of what you're going through, than to condemn somebody. There's more power in saying, I love you, and because I love you, I'm going to show you the right way to go. Yeah. Even if you make a mistake along the way, I'm still going to stand there and love on you because that's what my God did for me.
Yeah.
And even when you think that somebody doesn't deserve the love, first off, who are we to think that? But sometimes naturally our flesh says that, right? Even when you think that that person doesn't deserve the love, that is an inkling by the Holy Spirit that that's when they really need it. Because the enemy wants you to go, nope, I'm done. I wash my hands of the situation, right? But the minute you wash your hands of the situation, the devil will swoop in and say, I got you. And the very person you turned your back on is going to go further away from God because those in the body of Christ didn't stand by them.
Jesus.
So we got to make sure that we're in a position that we love by any means necessary.
Amen.
Okay? But then I had another verse, right? No, not another verse. It's really a quote, but I'm always saying verse. Another quote by the one and only Dr. Seuss, you know. Look, people be sleeping on Dr. Seuss, man. Let me tell you.
Now.
Dr. Seuss was a bad dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Minus those little, what's the one? Green Eggs and Ham and stuff. He has some good things, right? But this is what he said. You know you're in love when you can't fall asleep because reality is finally better than your dreams. So today we're talking about the love of Christ. And you know that you are in correct fellowship with God when you want to spend so much time in his presence. To when you don't even want to fall asleep because your daily life is better than your dreams. A lot of us, you know, we were in a place where, let me go to sleep because I don't want to be awake. My life is so much hell. Let me just close my eyes and dream of something different, right? But we are getting ready to enter into a season of God's glory, which is what? All that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do. And when you enter into that season of glory, it must be bounded in love. We were in our office talking, and I said this. When a father love their child, but then a child loves back on a daddy, it changes the dynamics. When a father loves their child, they provide, they do what they got to do to go to work, make sure there's a roof over their head, clothes on their back, right? But when that child begins to love back on that father, it gives that father another push, another level of energy to go, man, wait a minute, I was only going to do this, but I got to do even more because the feeling I got from them loving back on me is enough to push me to another level. If that's true in the physical, it has to be true in the supernatural, right? So when we begin to love on God as he loves on us, then he goes, oh, wait a minute, hold up. Wait a minute. You loving on me like I loved on you? I'm about to give you the world. We talked about this. A lot of us want provision, right? We all need a little more money in our life, right? But guess what? Some of us are focusing on the money instead of on the God of the money. And how many of you know when you seek your daddy's hand, he's going to get tired of you constantly coming after his hand. But when you begin to seek his heart and go, no, I don't want anything out of your pocket right now. All I want to get is just to know you. I want to see what makes you happy. I want to see what makes you mad, you know. And then you get the blessing. And within the blessing is everything you need. Some of us just want the money. Some of us just want the healing. Some of us just want the joy, the peace, the marriage, whatever it is. But when you get in the blessing of God, he says, all that's yours. So why are we picking and choosing when we could go, wait a minute, let me step back and love on my God, and then he's going to open up the windows of heaven and give me everything that I ever wanted, and then he's going to blow my mind by giving me even more. Some of us say, I want a wife, right? Okay, I want a husband. Then he goes, all right, that's cool. You can get one. You can pick one. But before you get one, just come in my presence a little bit. Let me talk to you. Let me get to know you. And then you go, God, I still need that husband. I still need that wife. And you know what? Since you've been in my presence loving on me, let me give you something you really want. Boom. And it's going to be 10 times better than what you could have got on your own. I'll tell you, so listen. Dr. Ford used to always say this, right? He said, you ever seen a very beautiful woman? I mean beautiful. And you see a not so handsome man with him, but they godly man. He said, that brother been on his knees praying and praying and praying, being obedient. And God said, okay, here you go.
Man, blessed.
He blessed him. But listen, we think that's so taboo, right? But if that's what we do to our own children, why would God not do that to us? We were talking in the office. We had pre-service in the office, y'all. I mean, we should have been recording, right? But we talked about 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, which talks about the subtlety of Christ, the simplicity of Christ, how the enemy, basically what he wants to do is he wants to corrupt your mind to the simplicity of Christ. reality is, it's simple to be blessed. It's simple to live right. It's simple to be happy. Simple to be peaceful. But the devil comes in and he makes us focus on this one thing, right? Mm. This one thing. Look, Eve, all she had to stay away from one thing. You got all this over here. But stay away from this one thing. But because he was so smooth and subtle, he corrupted her mind. So she thought that one thing was bigger than everything else that God had already given her, right? Amen. But we got to make sure that we don't get our minds blinded because we're getting ready to enter into glory. All that God is, all that God has, and all that he can do. But the devil wants to get us caught up on this one little thing, that we abandon everything else that he has. And we got free will, right? So he can be in heaven. No! Don't do it! Right. Don't do it! Right. Oh, come! No! 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 All right, they did it.
Right.
Now plan B.
Right.
Now plan C. Now plan D. But isn't that the amazing part of God, though, right? Even though he wants the best for us, even when we mess up, he still goes, here go another route.
Amen.
He messed up with that, here go another route. Amen. Mess up with that, here goes another route. He just keeps on giving you more and more and more because he loves you. It's based out of love, all right? But then this is the question. What is love? Oh, here we go. Love is in a general sense to be pleased with, to regard with affection, on account of some qualities which excite pleasing sensations or desire of gratification. So when we begin to break down love, okay, you begin to say, man, what does it mean for me to love God or for God to love me? What it means is that I'm so affectionate toward God that I just want to be in his presence. How many of y'all ever dated somebody that you actually like? Gotta put that in there. Sometimes we date people we don't really like. We hang around for other reasons, you know? But when you date somebody you really like, right, there is a level of affection right. that you have when you get in their presence.
Right.
You go, man, my day was horrible, but man, when I walked in this room and saw your face, something changed, right? Same way with God. When you walk into his presence, you should perk up. No matter what you're going through, you should be like, man, God, my day wasn't good, but you know what? You let me make it through another day. I'm not in an obituary somewhere.
Amen.
I'm not 6 feet under. I'm still here. On account of some qualities which excite pleasing sensations. How many of you get excited when you get in the presence of God? And if you are in here and you don't get excited, I would implore you to just begin to recollect through your day.
Amen. Right.
If you ever have an issue with praise and worship, just begin to catalog your day from the moment you woke up
Amen.
To the moment you are right now. Even before you make it out your door, right? Guess what's going to happen? You're going to be like, oh my God, you done blessed me. Let's do an inventory real quick. We ain't got that much time, but I'll give you inventory. All right, God, you woke me up. I turned out of bed by myself, so that means my arms work, my legs work, okay? I put my feet down on the ground. That means I'm in a house. It's warm or cold based off of the season. Now, man, I'm getting out of the bed, right? Well, thank God I got a bed.
Amen.
Then you go to the restroom, right? Use the bathroom. Well, I can use the bathroom by myself. Lord, there's some folks that can't do that. They got to carry a bag with them every time they go somewhere.
Jeez.
But that's simple, right? But isn't that big?
Right.
But then watch this. You turn the sink on. Then you go, wait a minute, God. I got running water. The water coming out of my faucet ain't brown. It ain't dirty. It ain't nasty. It ain't killing me, right? But then you brush your teeth. Something as simple as brushing your teeth. God, I think you got teeth. And if I ain't got no teeth, God, thank you I got enough money to put some in.
Amen.
Take some out, right? But watch this. When you think about toothpaste, I got toothpaste and a toothpaste. There are some people in this world that do not even have a toothbrush and toothpaste.
Right.
Now listen, we haven't even made it out of the bathroom yet.
Amen.
And we faithful.
Amen.
So can you imagine cataloging your whole day? God, thank you for going to the car. My car started. Because guess what? It's a folk today. Their car ain't start.
Lord,
okay, I'm driving away. Thank you. I got gas in my car, Jesus. Gas keep on simply subtly climbing, y'all. Y'all notice that? It was 180-something. Mm-hmm. Now about 220-something. I'm going to watch that and pray. Watch and pray. But the thing about it is, that's a blessing. I stopped at a stoplight. My brakes work. Hallelujah. Anybody hit me? I'm not going to catalog my whole day, but there's no way you can be upset when you begin to catalog your day, and then you go, that's the love of God.
Amen.
That you love me enough to give me these things, man. Jesus. I'm going to go off on a tangent. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to John 3:16. Now, everybody here shouldn't have to turn to John 3:16, but it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I won't call nobody out. For God so loved the world, what did he do?
He gave his only begotten Son.
That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. We see right here that God so loved the world. So we begin to learn that love is a verb. Love is what? An action word. So how can we say that I love my brother or my sister, yet my actions don't show? How can I say I love God, yet my actions don't show that I love God? If I love God, am I praying? If I love God, am I tithing? If I love God, am I supporting his kingdom? If I love God, am I reading his word? Simple. One of my favorite authors, Craig Mischel, he's a pastor. I love his books. So what do? I read them. When you love something, there's an action tied to it. Y'all feel me? But we just want to get an understanding here of what love is. We're going to be in the Bible a lot today, so make sure you get your Bibles and your phones out, because we got quite a few scriptures. The Lord shut me down. He said, now, Brian, sometimes you can preach without a scripture. You know, you just being motivational. You know, that's good. But then I preached two weeks ago, I think I only gave one scripture. The Lord had 8 scriptures on my page, right? I gave one. Holy Spirit said, you do that again, I'm going to sit you down. I said, yes, sir. We're going to get to these scriptures. Y'all got to understand, God is in a position right now where he's equipping us. Church is not just about church. It ain't just about coming and shouting and dancing and rolling around on the floor, although that's okay. What it's about is that we have progress, that we are progressing and that we are producing. What's the point of coming to church every Sunday, getting this word, and staying the same way that you were 10 days ago, 20 days ago, 5 years ago, 10 years? It's impossible. Our entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is about progress. We went from the garden, fell in the garden, came out the garden, did a bunch of stuff in between, got redeemed. We got redeemed so we can do what? Bring more people to the kingdom. Progress. When you look at the chapter, the book of Acts, right? They were adding thousands and thousands to the church daily. Want to know why they were able to add them to the church? Because their life showed progress. Amen. Those around them were looking like, wait a minute, hold on, wait. You got what? How you do that? Jesus, let me go talk to Jesus. I need to see Jesus because I knew where you were. I knew what you used to do. I knew what you used to drive. I knew where you used to work. I knew how you used to talk. Now you ain't doing none of that stuff. I need to know who got into you.
Right.
And then you're able to go, wait a minute, here go Jesus. But how many of you know, it's a lot of folks, we ain't gonna call no names, but it's, I'm so saved, sanctified, redeemed of the Lord. Can I borrow $100? No, get out of my face. You're so sanctified, redeemed, you should be working a job. You should be getting promoted on that job. You should be moving in excellence and going on up. Uh-huh.
Come on now.
Try not to go on no tangents, y'all. Sorry, y'all know how I get.
It's all right.
Love is a prerequisite for service. We talk about the body of Christ. We talk about Pentecost, right? About being infilled with power, infilled with the Holy Spirit, okay? Why would he do that? He did that so that we could be in a position to add more people to the kingdom. How do you add more people to the kingdom? Through service. If you have not been tested, algebra 2, right? You're not going to get to algebra 2 without going through algebra 1. I think Columbus City, you ain't getting to algebra 1 unless you go through geometry, right? You're not going to go through geometry unless you learn the basics of mathematics. So when we start talking about service and doing great things with God, some of us get all the skills that we can have. We know how to sing, dance, print flyers, go knock on doors. We can do all that. But we have not crucified our flesh to be in a position to love. Because it is only love that will allow for you to stand when everybody's coming against you. Amen. It is only love that's going to allow for you to keep on teaching, preaching, talking, living when people do you wrong. It's only love that is going to allow for you to turn your face when somebody does you wrong. Because ain't nobody going to do that in the flesh. Amen. Talking about turning the other cheek. You ain't turning the other cheek in no flesh. Somebody smack you, you're going to kick them in the face. If you in the flesh, you're here. If somebody smack you, you just going to stand there?
It's a war.
Somebody honest over here. Thanks for talking back to me. That's in the flesh though, right? But when you're in the spirit and you're grounded in love, your whole rationale changes. And you begin to know that God will fight my battles.
Amen.
And sometimes we get warped in our thinking. You know? It doesn't mean that we're weak, that we're weak back Christians. We talked about in the car, every one of God's prophets was a warrior. I would say, look at Joshua, he killed everybody. So don't tell me God's people ain't powerful. We just learned how to flow differently. Instead of resorting to violence first, we go, Holy Spirit, help me. You take care of the situation, God, because I'm being obedient to you. And if you say, if I'm obedient to you, you're going to take care of this, that, and you got to do it. So, Lord, instead of me smacking this person or cussing this person out, I'm going to flow in love. I'm going to go pray and give it to you. Amen. And guess what? When you do that, Holy Spirit always come in. Next, you know, the person that's been bugging you gets fired. Now, we don't want nobody to get fired, but sometimes, you gotta go. Person been messing with you. Next, you know, life transitions them somewhere else. Anybody ever had that? Amen. I had a boss move. Boss was getting on my last nerve, right? I just, like, every day, I'm rubber cushion on my nerve, chest. And my dad just going in, putting oil all over the place. I said, my father's getting tired of me, oil all over, you know, it's drywall too, so he got oil stains all over the place. But long story short, hey, that man. Boss got moved to right. Denver, Colorado. Mm. Didn't want to go, but had to move, right? Then I got some increase on my job. I want another story, but I ain't gonna do that. What I'm saying is, when you are obedient to God, and when you say, you know what, I'm going to love by any means necessary, it is God's job
right.
to take care of you and handle your stuff. Amen. It's His job to have your back. Okay? So let us go to another scripture here. Y'all really don't got to go to the scriptures because they on the screen. But. But this is John chapter 21, verse 15 through 17 says this. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend to my lambs. Mm. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. Mm. Verse number 17. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Love is a protector. When you put yourself in a position to make sure that you're constantly loving on God and allowing God to love on you, it becomes a protector to your life. Love has the ability to keep you protected and covered. I always use this example, and it's so funny, my dad's here, because I typically don't use the example when he's here. Mm-hmm. But I remember we were at some kind of event, right? My mom had a food trailer, I think we were off of 104 somewhere, right? Harmon Road, okay? And we're running around, we're playing this, that, and the other. My dad's doing what he does, and I don't know what I did, but I screamed. I screamed at the top of my lungs, right? I don't know where my dad was, but in 0.5 seconds, he was like, what's going on? And I'm just like, I don't know. I was just screaming, you know what I'm saying? But it was the love inside of him that required him to be a protector.
Right then.
So when he heard the sound of despair, he dropped what he was doing and jumped to the rescue. That's the same thing that God does. When He loves somebody, and God loves you, doesn't He? Y'all believe that, don't you? Amen. He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. When He loves you, it means that when He hears a sound of despair, or He hears a cry of help or weariness, He has to jump in and take care of you. But you gotta know that He's gonna do it. To this day, I'm 25 years old. To this day, I know if I make the right sound of my daddy around, he will come. Now this go around is gonna be both of us fighting the situation, you know, and it's gonna be me like this, like take care. But I know, based off of past experience, that He's going to protect me. When you get in a position to where you start worrying and doubting whether God really loves you, because maybe you've been in a situation for 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, and it hasn't changed, don't doubt that fact. Just begin to remember that He did it once, He's going to do it again, because He's not a man that He can lie. He's the same today, yesterday, and He'll be the same tomorrow. So we have to function under that principle. It's simple. But the enemy wants to go, well, He did it yesterday, that don't mean He's going to do that. Yes, it does. Because his word says he is. Amen. So devil, you shut up and go sit over there. Amen. Time out. Be quiet. Anybody put the devil on check? Time out. You got to do it sometimes. Because y'all got to understand this. He's a defeated foe. God gave him access for a little bit of time. But when he gave him access, he gave you power. Amen. So he gave the devil access, but then did an okey-doke on the devil and gave you power. So the devil thought he was really getting something, but while the devil over there plotting and playing, oh, I got this, I got that. He went behind you and said, well, here go the real stuff. You got this. Take this. Because when he come, I want you to be equipped. I want you to be powerful, right? So remember, you got the power of the devil. So if you tell the devil, go sit down in that corner, be quiet. He got to go, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because when you speak, he don't just see Brian. He don't see Elder Shalana. He don't see Kevin. He see Jesus. And guess what? God whooped up on the devil so bad on Calvary. Every time Jesus showed up, the devil sits down and shut up because he don't want to be embarrassed again. Mm-hmm. So when you begin to talk with the voice of Jesus, which is his word, which is his word, the devil responds. He's like, oh, no. I seen this. I've been there, done that. Ain't going to do this again. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we sit back and let the devil punk us. How you going to devil punk you? Seriously? Come on. Anybody ever punked by the devil? Be honest. I've been punked by the devil. But when you start realizing that he's as a roaring lion, right? All that means is, turn the light out. All that means is, he a little itty bitty kitten over here, right? With a sound effect. What's the little things called? Megaphones? With the little megaphones, right? He over there making lion sounds. Because it's dark, right? We back in the corner like, oh my God, it's a lion. I'm so scared. Turn back on. I'm so afraid. But all he is a little kitten. But when you trust the Holy Spirit, you're like, wait a minute. As a roaring lion, that means you ain't even a lion. You keep on walking towards him. You expose the devil for what he is, less than what he tries to make himself out to be. When you're far away, he sounds great. But the closer you get, you realize that he a little kitten behind a door. And what you want to do, little kitten? Move out the way. Ooh. You take it on my... Move. Come on, y'all know. Y'all be real. We got to understand it's the same way. We got that same power to tell the devil to flee. Get out of here. Bye. Roll up. Love's a protector. John 10:10. Y'all know this is one of my favorite verses of all time in the Bible. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. But I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Okay? Verse number 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, right? He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Do you know God?
Amen.
Do you know Jesus? Do you know the Holy Spirit? Guess what? They all know you.
Amen.
Verse number 15. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Somebody say that love is a provider.
Love is a provider.
Love's a provider. You being in a position to love God and to be loved, or to love on God, allows for you to enter into a level of perpetual, how do I say, provision. Love is a provider, which means that as a father, I'm not going to let one of my three children go hungry. They really can't talk that well, right? So I'm constantly checking, are you hungry? Do you want anything? Do you need anything? That's Joseph. Joseph is no. David. Joseph is no. David is give me more, give me more, give me more. And Brian is like, But love is a provider, right? And you have to get that on the inside of you, that because you love God and God loves you, he will always provide for you. Sometimes our level of provision or our thought about how we should be provided for does not measure what God is doing in that particular season. So we may say, God, I need $1 million. He says, you can't handle $1 million. God, I need more money. You can't handle more money. You ain't taking care of what I gave you right now. Why would I give you more money? But what God then says is, I'm going to provide for you on your level. I will put some Restoration City members on the spot, but I'm not. My definition of wealth is having more coming in than you have going out.
Amen.
And being able to do what God tells you to do when he tells you to do it.
Amen.
That does not mean $1 million.
Right.
Does not mean even $500,000. It just means that I'm such a good steward of what God gives me. That at any given time when He increases me, I don't have little holes in my pocket with money coming out of them. That's it. But when He sees you can manage $50,000, He'll give you $100,000. When He sees you can manage $100,000, He'll give you $500,000. But you have to know why. He's a provider. And He will give you what you... He'll give you what He knows you can handle. Because if any good investor, God's a good investor, right? Y'all believe that?
Amen.
Good investor. Any good investor, I'm not going to give no rookie stockbroker my money to be playing around with.
Come on.
I'm going to go, wait a minute. How long you been doing this? Let me see your portfolio. What you got of yours? All right. You did a good job. Here go my money. Same thing with God. You will not embarrass God. But He'll always provide for you. So even if you're in a rough spot, man, don't get discouraged. Because He'll never leave you out to dry. But there's a flip side to that, though. You have a part to play. A lot of times we go, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And He says, it's on you. It's up to you. I'm not in that. I gave you this. Now it's up to you what you're going to do with it. Now if we squander what He gives us, we can't get upset when we get in a bad position. Lord, You gave me this job. I got a car that I shouldn't have got. Now my car payment, my insurance, my gas is taking up my whole check. Now I can't pay my rent. That ain't God's problem. Mm-hmm. That's your problem. You wasn't a good steward. So now you want to offer Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, like, I can't do nothing. I can't do it. Right? But He will still provide for you. But once He provides, we have to be responsible with our provision. Y'all follow me? Okay?
All right.
Then Abraham... Genesis 22, 13, 14. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thickest by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. And it is said to this day, I will mount in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. That still goes with provision. But the next thing that I want to talk about here, and this is really the most important part, y'all. I told you I'll be teaching tonight, right? Love is a portal. Love is a portal. So then somebody go, what's a portal? I thought about that. A portal is a doorway, a gate, or other entrance, especially a large and elaborate one. Love is a doorway. Love is what allows for you to enter into all that God has for you. When you begin to embody love, and you begin to put love back out in the atmosphere, you begin to open a doorway of opportunity, a doorway of blessing, a doorway of peace. Because let me tell you, I've encountered non-believers who by my compassion and by my love have remembered me and done more for me than those who they were close with. All because of the way, through the Holy Spirit, I allowed for them to feel. You follow me? And you never know who God is going to use to bless you. So every day of your life, I don't care whether you're frustrated, you're upset, you're mad, you're sad, you had a bad day, you woke up on the wrong side of bed, you crucify your flesh and you love on everybody you come into contact with. Because it is through that love, it is through that affection, it is through that personal service to somebody else that they can be ushered into the kingdom of God. You never know, a very smile can keep somebody from killing themselves.
Amen.
A kind word can keep somebody from going home and blowing their family's head off. Y'all understand that? Y'all know that people walk into their house and kill everybody? Everybody.
Amen.
And you don't know who ticked them off even more along the way that made them go home and say, I'm done. I can't take this no more. Even on your job. It's some folk I didn't like on my job, but every day I made sure to go and say, how are you doing? Is there anything I can do for you? And those various people will come to me and say, can you pray for me? You're not a believer. That's the first problem. But I say, I'll pray for you. Right? Y'all follow me?
Amen.
Love is a portal. It's a door. It's a gateway. And this is the last scripture I'm going to give you guys. Isaiah 22:22. Then I will set the key of the house of David on his shoulder. When he opens, no one will shut. When he shuts, no one will open. You have that very power. But all of that power must be checked by love. And when you love, that love is a key. That love is the key that unlocks the door, the portal, the gateway to eternal provision, eternal life, eternal health, eternal wealth. Everything that you can imagine is based in love. Why is it based in love? Because Genesis tells us that we were created in the image of our God, right? And if he gave his only son because he loved us, that means that love is on the inside of us. Love is right there waiting for us to work it. And guess what? Because he gave his son was a key that unlocked all of our blessings, right? Our love is the key that unlocks our blessings. But not just for us, for our children, for our children's children, for our mothers, for our fathers, for those we're connected to. When we begin to love in the midst of, the glory begins to fall down on us. All that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do. And then the last thing that I want to say is this is a play on words. Because Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? When you begin to understand faith, it references trust, okay? So I played on the words here and I said, without love, it is impossible to please God. And the reason I say that is because he loved. He loved so much that he gave his son. So if we don't love, we're saying that we're better than him. Because if anybody who had a right to not want to deal with us, it would be God, right? But he said, no, I got you covered. I love you enough to send my own son. Let me tell you something. I love all y'all, but y'all ain't getting none of my sons. I'm sorry. y'all to live your life. I'll be out with you. Y'all got to live your life. Nah, y'all not getting my son. So I can imagine what it's like. I don't even want to hear my babies cry, let alone them to die, to be whipped, to be... But I'm not God. That's the beautiful thing. I'm not God. But it's that same aspect of love. And then this is the last thing I want to give you guys. And I want everybody to write this down if you can. If not, I'll put it on Facebook tonight. Love is built through relationship and intimacy. So just love dash relationship intimacy or arrow. From that arrow, you have trust. Because it's only through relationship and intimacy that you can build trust.
Say it again.
Then, next to trust is faith. Because it is impossible to have faith without having trust. So when you get to the root of it, there are a lot of people who have an issue. There are a lot of people who have an issue with faith. God, I just don't believe it. Well, your real issue is not faith. Your real issue is love. A lot of people have an issue with trust. Your real issue is not trust. It's love. Or they go, man, I just don't feel God like I used to. The issues. Relationship and intimacy.
Right.
Just like a personal relationship, right? You got to spend time with the Father. You got to. Well, that's all that I have for everybody. That's all that I have.
Okay.
I always end it with questions.